arcs burst from ancient volcanic tunnels. Mountain slopes are smothered with ash trees. And strange, sometimes deadly creatures stalk the valleys and ravines. Wilder still is Anil Kesh itself, straddling the mysterious and deadly chasm high in the mountains. No Jedi has ever descended to its bottom and survived, and many of those who have tried were driven insane. Dagon Locke, the prisoner of Bogan, is one such man. His fascination with the chasm led to his downfall. All young Padawans are told his story. Lannery was looking forward to time on her own with Dale. Yet now she is fearful as well. Of Dale, what he is becoming, and what he might do. She is desperate to not let her parents down. And though she still tries to believe that her brother can be saved and brought to the Force, deep down she knows the truth. His days on Tython are numbered.
"Wait here," Master Kinnaid says.
She rests a hand on Lannery's shoulder.
"This is the last time we'll see each other, for now at least. I hope your onward journey is safe, Journeyer. May the Force go with you."
"Thank you for all your training," Lannery says. Master Kinnaid looks as though she wants to say more, and Lannery is surprised when she senses doubt exuding from the Master. But then the room beyond where they wait is no longer empty, and Kinnaid merely smiles.
"Enter," a voice says, and Lannery recognizes Law Mi once more.
The small hexagonal room is lined with images of people Lannery does not know. There are a mix of people, all species and colors, and at points around the walls there are also empty spaces. Law Mi stands in a doorway on the far side of the room.
"Everyone I have let down," the Temple Master says. "All those people, Jedi and not, whom I have failed throughout my long life. I keep the room open for anyone to view, because it's important to know we are not all perfect. Pride is a dangerous indulgence. I'm a temple master now, but even that doesn't exclude me from failure. In many regards, my failures are greater, because as a temple master, there is so much more expectation put upon me, and responsibility brings more risk."
Lannery says nothing. She is being spoken to, and Law Mi invites no response.
"It's down to me, of course, whose images I place here," the old man continues. "Some would argue that there are those here who let themselves down, rather than being let down by me. And there are others who might name some images that are missing."
He walks slowly around the room.
"There are spaces, gaps yet to fill. I hope to still see areas of bare wall here when I am older and closer to death, but..."
He shrugs and touches cold, bare stone.
"You don't want to see Dale's image here," Law Mi says. "You're learning well, and your experience shines through. But it's your face I have no wish to see on the walls of this room, Lannery. So heed this warning. Ignore it, suffer the consequences, and I will have let you down. Your brother grows more unstable and dangerous every day. Be wary of him."
"I will, Master Law Mi."
The old man sighs.
"There was a time when people like Dalian..."
He trails off.
"What?"
Lannery asks.
"Harsher times," Law Mi says. "No matter. Go safe, Lannery Brock, and may the Force go with you."
Lannery watches the Temple Master turn and leave the room of his shame, and when he is gone, she spends some time looking around at the faces staring back at her. She wonders what became of them. Dead? Banished? Fled out into the system? She hopes to never find out. And she swears that neither her face nor her brother's will fill one of those empty spaces. Down in Greenwood Station, Trisana became someone else. Lannery sensed it when they emerged onto the first bustling street of shops, taverns, and other places of pleasure. Not in any Force way, because whatever Dan Powell had done to the Twi'lek had rendered him almost immune to Lannery's probings. But in the way he carried himself,
His manner, his bearing, his interaction with the world shifted subtly. The Trisana she had met on Kalamar, and with whom she had spent days cooped up in her peacemaker, turned into the man Dam Powell had warned her about. He became dangerous. They walked along the street side by side, and Lannery kept the hood of her robe raised. A few people glanced at them, but only casually. Most were too involved in their own lives to be concerned with anyone else. Sellers displayed their wares on metal market wagons, food, drink, and an array of drug slips that promised a temporary escape from the reality of this wretched place. People stood outside drinking establishments, trying to lure passersby inside with promises of the best drink. And all the while, farther toward the center of the dome, the chimneys throbbed and pumped, the machines thumped away, the ground shook, and great trains trundled in or out with raw materials or finished products. The people were the oil that kept the dome working, and Lannery sensed that safety and sanity here rested on a thin skein of smoke. While they walked, she kept her senses open for any sign of Dale. But she wasn't even sure she would recognize him anymore.
"There,"
Tree said. He pointed along the street. "What?"
"Listing point."
He walked forward, shoved a tall man aside, and pressed several buttons on a box mounted on a short, stumpy pole.
"I was using that,"
the man said. He might once have been human, but some terrible growth had eaten at his face, and gleaming artificial eyes were set in the remains of eye sockets.
"How about using this?"
Tree said. He shifted his jacket aside and displayed the small blaster on his belt.
"I didn't even know he had that," Lannery thought.
"You're carrying,"
the man said.
"No one's allowed to carry in green..."
Tree shoved him hard. Arms pinwheeling, the man stumbled back into a group of women wearing dull red work suits, and one of them tripped him. They laughed. Tree turned his back on the fallen man and started working at the listing point. Its small screen showed a map of Greenwood Station, and as Tree tapped at the keys, the map zoomed into a sector, then a small network of streets. A green glow pulsed. Tree swiped the screen clear and nodded at Lannery. "The scumhead is listed?" Lannery asked.
"No, but someone who knows him is."
"Right. Easy." Tree started walking. "You could have waited to use it," she said, walking alongside the Twi'lek.
"Just keeping up appearances."
"I thought you hadn't been here before."
"I haven't, but I know..."